Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
In our examination of God's grace, we have learned how God wants to give us more grace, and God wants to save us by grace. But God also wants to transform us by grace. Kind of like those infomercials, you know, wait, there's even more.
Oh, this old knife just doesn't cut it anymore. There's got to be something better.
Now there is.
Wow.
The Come-On Ceramic Knife. It never needs sharpening, and it's only $29.95.
It really works.
And if you order right now, we'll send you the matching paring knife and bread knife.
Now that's a deal.
And during this special offer, you'll also get our special cutting board, knife holder, and cleaning cloth with special Come-On cleaning solution, good for your knives, counters, and laundry.
This is amazing.
We're not done yet. You'll also get the mixing bowl set, ice cream trays, an inflatable chair, glow sticks, a shower caddy, fridge magnets, an ironing board with shirt rack, an electronic Sudoku puzzle generator, language translator, mouse pad, and a mascot outfit.
I don't have room for all of this.
We're also including a closet organizer, bags of some kind, large plastic geese, and a deluxe litter box.
I don't have a cat.
And today only, we're doubling the offer.
As believers in the Wesleyan tradition, we believe salvation is much more than fire insurance against eternal separation from God or some holy evacuation plan to escape earth. Salvation is when our souls are restored to wholeness and health so that we are free to love, receive God's abundant love, and live into that love and freely love others. Loving God, self, and others is what it means to be the verb form of sanctified, an ongoing process. Experiencing God's justifying grace is just the beginning of the Christian life. The day of your salvation is like your spiritual birthday. After that, there's a whole new life to grow into and live. When you say yes to Jesus as your Savior, the conversion of the old to the new, from darkness to life, from death to life, is a miracle that happens in a moment or a season. But cooperating with God's grace so that you are transformed into the image of Christ takes a lifetime. Just as little kids dream of the day they will be teenagers, and teenagers dream of the day they will be adults, we have an invitation from God to grow up in grace. You see, God's sanctifying grace is God's, wait, there's more, character-shaping love. In 2011, George Barna conducted a research project about people's spiritual formation or their walk with God. This study took place over a period of 6 years and involved phone interviews of 15,000 individuals. The results were astounding to many of us serving the local church. Barna found from his research that people tend to find themselves at one or another of what he called 10 transformational stops. Number one, unaware of sin. Two, indifferent to sin. Three, worried about consequences of sin. Four, forgiven from sin. Five, committed to faith activities. Six, experience a period of spiritual discontentment. Seven, experience personal brokenness. Eight, choosing to surrender and submit to God, radical dependence on God. Nine, a profound love for and intimacy with God. And 10, a profound compassion and love for humanity. It gets real interesting when you see the spread of the population all across the spectrum. Let me run the numbers for you. 1%, 16%, 39%, 9%, 24%, 6%, 3%, 1%, 0.5%, and 0.5%. It's not surprising to see most of the numbers centered around the steps 1 to 5. It comes to 89%. You know, it's the, you're a sinner, you need a savior, pray, there's prayer. Now get involved with church. But wait, there's more. What I find interesting is how the spectrum breaks down after the second half. It's almost like there's a barrier or a hurdle to move through the remaining 5 steps that amount to only 11%. Why do I bring this up in our study of God's grace? If we look at the first 3 stops, or 56%, this is the primary arena for prevenient grace. Stops 4 and 5, 33%, this is the arena of justifying grace. The last 5 stops, well, this is the arena of sanctifying grace. I believe it to be the neglected other half of the gospel. And since it's the mission of South Rito to engage and equip people with the whole gospel, God's kingdom come mission, at the risk of some of you thinking this is an infomercial, let's talk more about what this, wait, there's more, grace is. One of the pitfalls we get into when it comes to this ongoing pilgrimage of becoming more like Jesus is misunderstanding an important biblical concept. Throughout the New Testament, there are statements that should fill us with boldness and confidence, such as Paul's words in Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now, what's not to like about that statement? It is a reality for every Christian. Through Jesus' work on the cross and the tomb, we have been freed from judgment and sin's insidious grip. Yet, if we are honest, we have to acknowledge that we still have moments of condemnation and still wrestle with sin. Couple this then with Paul's testimony just a chapter earlier in Romans 7, verses 18 to 20, as he described his struggle to do the right thing. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. So which is it? Are we free from condemnation and sin's power? Or are we sentenced to a life of fighting to do the right thing? Could both realities be true? It seems to me that Paul sometimes expounded on our position in Christ. By this I mean that there are statements such as these: there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That describes how God sees us. The redemptive work of Jesus, coupled with our trust in that work, makes us positionally freed and cleansed. This is our position in Christ. We talked about this last week. But Paul also wrote about our condition in Christ. This has everything to do with how we as Christ followers cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the gift of Christian community to become more and more like Christ. Paul's gut-wrenching honesty in Romans 7 captures this reality too. You see, as Christ followers, we are to practice what Jim Collins calls the genius of the and instead of the tyranny of the or. In other words, we must live in the tension between our position in Christ, what Christ says about us, and our condition in Christ, how we are in real time walking with Christ. Sanctification is the journey to close that gap between our position and our condition in Christ. Now, this doctrine has been misunderstood to mean don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, and don't hang out with those that do. Well, with that understanding, faith becomes a laundry list of do's and don'ts instead of a journey to joyful obedience. Therefore, we believe that a Christian can be made perfect in love, that with this gift of God's even more sanctifying grace, the intention of the Christian's heart can be made complete or perfect. Lost forever is the excuse, well, I'm just human. And in its place is an intimacy with God that becomes pervasive. This is the privilege of every follower of Jesus. This is the type of change Paul longed for in his life. He yearned for even more grace. In Paul's letters, we see that he is not satisfied with a fond memory of an experience of grace in the past. He was captivated by the mystery of God's grace, more alive in him than ever each day. You and I are invited to experience God's grace in our lives in this way too. We need to position our lives so that we can experience and respond to grace. Which brings us to the question of how. In Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, he devoted the first chapters to bragging on God's grace expressed through Jesus dying on a cross for our sins and being raised to new life so that we can be in relationship with God. Paul was in awe of grace. Having experienced grace, he felt compelled to respond. In the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, Isaac Watts writes, Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Dr. Steve Harper said it this way, Grace plus our response equals growth and transformation. Let's consider two ways that we can experience and respond to God's sanctifying grace even more. I have always enjoyed music throughout my life, and there are times when certain portions of songs come back to me. As I think about my experience in response to God's offer of grace, I remember the chorus from Godspell, which talked of three things to do more day by day. Seeing God clearly, loving God dearly, following God nearly. This is the theme that Paul expressed in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb its depths, rise to its heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Paul encouraged his friends to daily take in and experience the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. To grow into the fullness of God means to seek every day to see, love, and follow God more and more and more. Loving God even more is our response to that, yeah, even more grace. What Paul was getting at is best understood in relational terms. I've been married to Pam for nearly 40 years. Before that, we dated for 9 months, but on February 14th, 1981, we got married. Our standing before God, the government, and our family and friends was officially husband and wife. Now, what if we had walked out of church and gone our separate ways? Would we still be married? Well, technically, yes, until one of us got a phone call announcing the other had died. But that was not my goal in marrying Pam. I made those vows, and through the years, we've imperfectly struggled together so that our love for one another grows, guess what? Even more. My prayer is that we will continue to grow in our love for one another even more until death do us part. Our relationship with God is like that. God's prevenient grace is the dating season. God's justifying grace is the wedding day, that great day, something to celebrate and take pictures of and remember. But wait, there's even more. Every day, we are invited to know God more and grow in God's extravagant grace. The goal of grace is not to have a one-time experience when we accept Christ. God's sanctifying grace is that lifelong marriage of our relationship with God. The goal of grace is that we would love God and love others more. As Paul says in another letter, I want to know Christ. Philippians 3:10, more and more every day. Well, knowing and loving God takes time. Just as our relationship with people we love requires meaningful time, so it is with our relationship with God. When those who are struggling in their spiritual lives come to me, I ask them this question: when was the last time you spent time with God? Usually it's been a long time since they participate in God's means of grace, you know, spending time with God in prayer and Bible study and worship and communion in Christian community. Because loving God takes time. I love how one pastor, Richard Wills, used to teach that we need to have an up-to-date faith. With great love, he would say, if you can't tell me what God has been doing in your life for the last 30 days, I question whether you have a relationship with God. What God did in your life when you were at summer camp 30 years ago is great. That sermon that challenged you 2 years ago is wonderful. But how is your real time walk with God? What is God teaching you? Where is God challenging you? How is God healing you? The disciple on the path of a sanctifying grace can easily and quickly answer these questions. That's why we continue to offer opportunities here at South Reno, like the Foundry. This is an opportunity for you to partner with God and others to experience fresh outpourings of God's grace. After all, transformation takes cooperation. I hope to see you there. Have you ever watched the show Undercover Boss, where a rich and powerful CEO puts on a disguise and enters into the daily routine with regular employees to learn their stories? Well, the best part, I think, is the ending where the boss sits down with each employee that he or she has encountered. The boss reveals their identity and then usually offers praise and sometimes helpful correction to the employee. The boss then hands out gifts for college or a needed vacation or training to go to the next level in the company. After each encounter, the employee is usually smiling from ear to ear and shedding tears of joy. Almost all of the employees are overcome with gratitude, some saying like, "Thank you, this is a dream come true. I don't know what to do to thank you." Some hug the boss, others dance, and almost all go back to engage their work as never before. That show reminds me a bit of the whole gospel. God put on a disguise by taking on the form of a man named Jesus and coming into our everyday, messy, ordinary lives. When Jesus reveals himself as our Savior, forgiving all of our sins by his own blood and overcoming death so that we never have to die and positioning and presenting us to God the Father as perfect, what are we to do? Our work in response to this amazing grace is to love others even more. This is what Paul instructed Christ followers in the first century to do. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want you strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not with fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. That's Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6 from the Message. Paul was in chains and told his friends to start walking, or better yet, running on the road God called them to travel. What is this road? It's to help others experience and know God's grace. We live in a world desperate to know God's love and grace. In fact, it is our charge as followers of Jesus and the body of Christ to help others. To accomplish this divine mission, to complete this Christ-inspired charge, we must love even people who don't love us. This means we must love even people who are different than we are, people who are who threaten us, people who persecute us, and people who are our enemies. It means that we must love and forgive and share grace with that person. You know, we all have our lists, and each of us is probably on someone else's list too. To experience and respond to grace means we must love others even more. At a conference I attended a couple of years ago, one of the amazing leaders was Horst Schultz, the former president and COO of Ritz-Carlton Hotels. Horst's vision as a leader has helped reshape concept of customer service throughout the hospitality and service industries. At the summit, Horst shared his vision that enabled him to do this. His idea, which was rooted in Jesus' commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, was to make the Ritz-Carlton Hotel's motto, "We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen." In other words, high regard is given to all involved. As I listened, I thought our motto as followers of Christ might be, "We are children of God and persons of worth, serving children of God and persons of worth." We are not lording over others, looking down on others from our lofty places of honor. No, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There is only one Lord, and we are all children of God and persons of worth, including the other people in our lives. This attitude change could lift our relational worlds to whole new levels. There is a famous anonymous quote that says, "The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. To love God and love others as we love ourselves is why you and I were created. Life is more than just waiting to get to heaven. Full life is found loving God and letting God love us and loving others. This is how we are to respond to God's character shaping, sanctifying, wait, there's even more grace. And it is a process that continues until the day we meet Jesus face to face. I recently heard of an individual who was a pastor for 44 years. He preached hundreds of sermons and still would be preaching today if cancer had not taken his life at age 62. On the day that he preached his last sermon, with his body and voice weak and frail, you know what the title of his message was? Don't stop. He urged all the followers of Jesus to press on because the best is yet to come. Don't stop, he said, because God is calling you. That's what even more grace is. You know that, wait, there's more. Don't stop. Love God even more. Don't stop. Let God love you even more. Don't stop. Love others even more. Don't stop. There's even more. Let's pray. God of grace, we thank you for your sanctifying grace. Thank you for seeking us out and knowing that we will all fall short, loving us even still and transforming us into Jesus' likeness. Teach us what it means to live a life of grace. May we grow closer to you and to one another, we pray. Amen.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life. And we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org/next. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.